September 21st, 2020, Town Board Workshop, Proposed Solar Law.
The door is unlocked, recording. So I, I'd love to try and write another minute or two to see if Alan will come on, and he'll be considered a panelist, and then we can put him on speaker to exchange with us as well.
Darren Suarez raised his hand.
I'm not sure, are we doing questions from the floor at this point in time as a town board workshop? I don't, it's not something we've done in the past at this point in time. If there's a time for a comments from the floor or open session, I think we certainly can entertain that. But we haven't started the meeting yet, so we're going to keep that hand raised on there, I guess. Okay. Where on our website is this located, this meeting, by the way? Because I'm on the town website and I can't find the link to the meeting.
It's under the town board. Is it Tammy on the...
Yes, if you go to townmorrow.org, Town of Moreau, their departments.
Yeah, so is it under departments or board and committees? Agenda?
Alan's on here. I'm going to promote him to a panelist.
Yes, that's what we're waiting for.
I can't do it on my phone because our website doesn't allow us to do that.
Okay, so... Alan, are you there? Got it. Mr. Van Tassel, are you present?
I am, yes.
Oh, all right, so at this point in time, we have four board members. I would like to just announce that Supervisor Gutierrez has been hung up at the county, but we certainly can start his absence. I'm just going to be logging in my credentials to the meeting here as well. And you can give me your name.
Is Carla coming?
She is on her way. Yes.
Hey, Alan?
Yes, sir.
How do I get it so I have you appear, or at least I get the multiple screenshots of everybody who's on the panel? You know, a video feed of them.
Well, if you can you turn on my video? I can't turn my video on.
Okay, hold on. Let me try that. You know, let's... It doesn't seem to give me that. It says make co-host, change role to attendee, forbid record, rename, put on hold.
Unfortunately, I can't visualize what you're looking at on your side.
Okay.
So you have your camera on, right? Yeah. I was to call you on some sort of a live phone call and show you the screen. Would that work?
Well, that might be it. Yeah.
So he's an attendee. If you go to panelists, go to A. Van Tassel. So get rid of his, let's see. Get out of that screen somehow. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
I see what you're trying to do. Every time you go to the camera, it goes, nope. Chat, make those co-hosts. So change over to attendee for the record when you put name on the move. Because I'm trying to
maybe left click, I don't know.
This doesn't allow panel, so it's not allowing us to put your camera on.
He's muted now.
No, I'm not even muted now, but so I'm gonna mute that for a minute.
Okay.
That was me. Do you have to be considered a co-host? What if I make you a co-host?
If you'd like.
Okay, but it's also still, it's not allowing us to turn your camera on. I don't know why. So you're a co-host. Oh, there
you go.
Okay. All right. Nice. I like that. So now,
if you click on,
that's just going to put them small.
Oh, there's both of them.
Right. Okay. That actually works right quite well on, because now you appear as if, you know, you're here with the board. So, does that work for you?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilman Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzmiers? No. Okay.
Okay. So this meeting is fully on Zoom at this point. Nobody in the house here. Everyone is watching from home. We have an agenda for this evening. Thank you to Council Member Van Tassel for kind of guiding us through this process to get us to a good spot here tonight so that we can do a lot of good business here in the next 15 minutes. I guess, you know, if we can take a look right here at the start, you know, we can certainly start sharing around. And there's 9 things on here. We start with overview of the process. So is there anybody at this point thinking, and I'm not exactly sure what the overview...
I can pop in,
Kyle. Yes, go ahead, yeah, because I'm not 100% sure of the overview that we wanted to cover this evening.
Sure, I spoke with Supervisor Kuzmiers earlier today about the overview, and he asked me to just bring everyone up to speed on where we were, where we are, and where we look to go. So... about a year ago, the town board put into effect a moratorium on all solar in the town. At the time, the only place that solar is allowed or was allowed was in the industrial zone. So the purpose of the moratorium was to allow the town board the opportunity to really look at the model law from NYSERDA, to work with NYSERDA, to look at various other municipal solar laws, to work with Jim Martin in the zoning department and myself to put together a draft law so that we took into account everything within the town that was important. During the first 6 months of that, we met with folks from NYSERDA. We had conversations with them. We obtained and reviewed the local laws from about 15 different communities, and worked with the state and worked with those communities just in different conversations to figure out how to move forward. We also, I know I attended a number of seminars put on by the Association of Towns with respect to the solar law, and the new law that came into effect through the governor's budget this year. And then COVID hit, and everything was basically moving forward, but at a smaller pace, simply because of the fact that the town was looking at other more pressing issues, safety issues, things of that nature. However, during the last 6 months, the town board has been given and gone through extensively draft solar law, which was modeled on the model law and other different various laws. It was put together, it's been vetted, and what the town board has for it now is the most recent draft of each section of the proposed law with the requested revisions that the board members have proposed, along with certain comments that show the different disparities between a couple of the different issues. And I think tonight the point is to kind of look at it in a perspective of let's piecemeal a little bit. There's a lot on the agenda. I'm not sure you'll get through everything on the agenda in the next 47 minutes before the planning board meeting. So if I might, it might make sense to pick the one or two of these issues and really hone in on those. One of the things that really should occur once this board is comfortable with a draft is presented to the members of the planning board. And the purpose of that is because the planning board is the board that's going to be applying the law. So once you folks actually pass the law, adopt the law, it really gets out of this realm for you folks, and if someone comes in and says, I want to put solar on, they go to the planning board. And so I think it would be a good idea for the folks that are going to apply and interpret the law to have a say, at least in what is in the law. Not saying you have to accept any of their recommendations, but it would make sense to have them on board as well, so that if what you have in here may look great and you may be able to say this will be applied easily, and then you have the planning board say, I don't know how I would apply that. Just to kind of stop it at the outset. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my thought for today. And speaking with the supervisor earlier, he was on the same page. He did just text me. He is leaving Saratoga now, so he will be here shortly. That's basically my part of the conversation.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Van Tassel, it's odd not having you here, but I know that you are here. Were you able to hear all of that?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay, good. So we have in front of us, so Ms. Fittner mentioned maybe we can't get through the remaining eight objectives on the, or bits of the agenda here. We have in front of us size, zoning districts, roof mounted, ground mounted, standards for large scale, comprehensive land use plan, New York State complex, use of agricultural, recreational easements, zoning board, planning board roles, and then, of course, there's a motion to adjourn. So maybe there's actually seven things on there that we have to address. And Mr. Hogan, Mr. Van Tassel, Mr. Donahue, is there one of those you want to start with discussing first?
I'll jump in, Kyle, if it's okay.
That's perfectly fine.
So I think the very first one on the agenda might be an easy one. Why don't we tackle the first one first and then move on?
Sounds good to me. So that would be size, small scale versus large scale, and then underneath the use of tiers. So currently, I think in our current draft, as I flipped through it, I know we've all flipped through it a few times, and now the current paperwork I have is all of our changes in it. Would you like to leave the discussion, Mr. Van Tassel, on the idea of use of tiers to delineate small scale versus large scale?
I'll share my thoughts for the board, and if we have a consensus, we can move forward. So In the current practice, I understand it, we've taken what might commonly be referred to as a boogie back bell. So if we look at the model law presented by NYSERDA that council referred to earlier, and if we look at a lot of other municipalities around the area, around the state, you start to see a pattern, and many of them have modeled maybe a little bit more closely than we might in our current draft to the NYSERDA model. That doesn't mean one's right or wrong in many regards. I saw some that I reviewed that were very similar to ours. But in our current draft, we've taken rooftop, which I think should also include building integrated, kind of the ways of the future in some regards. And we put together, and what we now have is small scale solar systems. And then we've got a second group called large scale. And I think there's a distinct difference between the way we're going to possibly allow and/or establish guidelines around those two different groups. But then, even more specifically, if you take tier one, and maybe just put put rooftop and building integrated in that group, that's still a smaller subset, leaving ground mounted to possibly be in maybe what's called a tier two solar system. And I feel fairly strongly about it, but again, just one board member, that the ground mount, today we currently also have a little bit of a challenge with the current draft, in my opinion, where we start the entry point at 1 megawatt. And, I'm not a subject matter expert on solar systems, and I'm not going to pretend I'm not a science though. But let's pretend that we were looking at a ground-mounted solar system the way we currently have it defined. That could be a project that could go up to 6, maybe even 8 acres, up to a 1 megawatt system, or it could be a small home user that just wants to put a small solar panel in his or her yard to help supplement heat to the pool. So I think that there's reasons why we should consider, as a board, separating out, use the model law as a template, add in tier one, and separate that for roof-mounted solar systems and building integrated solar systems. Create another tier in the middle, what we can call tier two and or some other name to that regard, and let's have that for ground-mounted solar systems that have system capacity, and we'll need to determine what that is. That's something much smaller than 1 megawatt. And that will create us, or give us the ability to, inside that particular set of the law, assign or define the right guidelines we want to have established around all the different variables. Because that's definitely distinctly different than large solar systems. So my suggestion is that we don't reinvent the wheel. Let's pull the language from the model law, and let's add in or separate what we currently have in the small scale system, and use that tier one for just roof mounted and building integrated, and then a tier two can be for ground mounted solar systems of some smaller size. Again, certainly open to language around it. Maybe 25 kilowatts as a minimum. With other language that cannot generate more than 110% of the electricity consumed by the site. There's some language available. So I'll stop and see if there's some feedback. Certainly encourage other board members for their perspective. Jim Martin also has been actively involved, and maybe he has some thoughts. So I'll stop and take a breath and see if there's some other comments.
Well, in a nutshell, I like that. I wasn't aware of the different tiers having been written by experts, but I like the plan of that, and I would agree to do that.
I personally, I think, having read the commentary section here, on NYSERDA, all the solar energy local law, where the tier 1, 2, and 3 Tiers are explained again in, with Mr. Van Tassel's clarity and explanation. I'm okay with that as well. I don't find it to be I find it to be a little cleaner working as each. It will be easier to determine what type of project the planning board or whomever is going to look at, a tier 1, 2, or 3. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with it as well. And you know, a lot of the stuff that Alan has talked about was stuff they can read from the model from the server. And you know, as far as having three tiers, I think it's a great idea. Incorporating in that too is the size of the capacities, and it's really in the model here with 25 kilowatts. The 4,000 square feet, a lot of 4,000 square feet, 100% electricity consumed on the site in the previous 12 months. I'd like to see all that language that's here in the model incorporated in the tier system.
I'm curious, with some of our dimensional dimensions that we're putting in here, you guys are going to hear me say this a couple of times tonight. I like to be more conservative on numbers when it comes to putting something out there from the start and allowing an applicant to approach the zoning board for.
I just had a couple of thoughts. I just think it should be borne in mind that these applications oftentimes don't start with an application with the planning board or the zoning board or something like that. They start with a building permit. And so I think you've also got to consider, I mean, I appreciate what the state law is doing in terms of its model setup, but I don't think the person who drafted this model law was in a municipal building office and see the practical applications of these applications as they come through for review. And the wide variation in the quality of information that you get.
Right.
Because applications for solar systems are probably going to be much like pools are. Swim pools are not the responsibility of the pool provider to prepare the building permit application. The homeowner does. So I'll show you some applications that come through the building office. And again, the level of quality that you get in terms of site plans, you know, dimensional, you know, portrayals, things being done to scale. So I think as you craft local law, you've got to be cognizant of, you know, and I don't think it needs to be, you know, highly sophisticated requirements. I think we should scale our law to meet what people will understand and have the capability to submit. And so what I'm suggesting is this idea that scaling tiers, and I the tier system is fine to me as a local, or as the model law has it, but I would just caution against trying to differentiate between those tiers on the basis of megawatts and things like that. You're going to lose people in the, you know, the common homeowner that's going to apply for this system. Mm-hmm. I would rather see a simple square footage requirement, you know, that a ground mounted system in a residential setting can only be X number of square feet. That way, I think you increase the assurance of getting, you know, a good application, that a process that people can understand and work with it, instead of something that's technically, I can assure you, the vast majority of the residents in the town don't understand the difference between a kilowatt and a megawatt. And when they want to apply for a system, they're just going to want to know, how big can I build it?
Right.
Type thing.
So that being said, go ahead.
So with that thought, our residents aren't going to be building these themselves.
No, I understand that, but they're going to be required to apply for it, though.
Well, I get that, but I would think that they would be conferring with whoever might be actually installing these units, because they have to be qualified by the state to do that. But, you know, they're basically electrical electricians or graders. And that they would have to say, okay, well, this system that would fit in your house is going to be, it will supply this amount of power. And as far as like 110% over, you know, of the electricity consumed over the, on the site of the previous 12 months is something that they're going to be looking at based upon previous records, which the whoever will be installing this is going to be able to say, okay, this is what we think you've used over this time. This is what you can put in it out based upon this information. And this is what you need to take to apply for your permit.
Okay, I understand all that, but I guess I've just been forward in my mind having reviewed literally thousands of building permit applications for all sorts of things, from fences to decks to houses to, you know, commercial shopping centers. You know, land use regulations exist in a spatial world. You know, the relationships between sizes and massing and things like that. And I think the idea of, you know, introducing, although I can see what's a relevant consideration, the amount of power generated, I think you got to focus more on, okay, this ground-mounted system is going to be 8 feet wide by 12 feet and so much in height. That's what we need to regulate against, and it can be 10 feet off your property line. You know, something that's so technology-driven and ever-evolving, you know, there may be systems 5 years from now that produce a vast amount of more power in a much smaller area. So I think we need to keep regulations that look at, you know, spatial relationships, massing on a lot, and is that a size or an area that we want to allocate within a lot to this use?
So you're basically saying that Tier 2 needs to be set out as a specific size.
Yeah, or within a range of size, or a maximum size. And if they can achieve their 110% and their kilowatt, you know, number and all that, great. But the fact of the matter is, if they got a third of an acre, they can allocate this much of their site to ground-mounted solar, and it has to be this far off the property line. Whether it's 500 square feet, I think 4,000 square feet is a lot. That's a tenth of an acre. And a lot of our residential lot, particularly in the northern part of the town, to be closer to the village, they get very small. They're almost village-like in scale.
Okay. But here's my question: Does this need to be addressed as part of that definition or agenda item?
So I have a thought.
Go ahead.
And I think this is just because the might be missing the word "or" in the model law. The Tier 2 in the model law has to do with the capacity or the square footage. So from what Jim is saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that instead of using capacity measurement, use the square footage measurement.
That's what is going to drive,
right,
you know, a zoning consideration, so to speak.
Right. And that's thought about in the model law. So the question for you folks is, and I'm looking at the camera because Alan's like through the camera, is do you want to use the part of it that discusses the kilowatts, or do you want to use the part that discusses the square footage? To your point, John, about the rest of it, that's in a different section. That's not the definition portion. But just so you also know, the law you have in front of you that you have been working on talks about megawatts. It's a very similar setup to this tiered system. It's just not as broken apart. So what it sounds like I'm hearing is you'd like to redefine solar energy systems, removing small scale, large scale out of the terminology, and saying Tier 1 are roof mounted or building integrated. No discussion at all about size in the definition, no discussion at all about output. Tier 2 would be either measured by a kilowatt or square footage, and you would have to identify the numbers. And Tier 3 is just anything else.
Got it.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I guess. So is there no, with Ms. Bittner said with the Tier 1, no discussion of size or any of that. Is that on Tier 1? Because those are going to be roof-mounted and building integrated energy systems, solar energy systems. That's, so
no size requirement on that. Much the court here, Mr.
President. Okay, can I have a thought?
Yeah.
So certainly, correct me if I'm wrong about the chamber problem, I'm just going to skip. But I mean, the exercise right now is specifically around defining the definition, which will help us then determine what section of the law we will then focus on for all the other variables, setbacks and size. This is just the definition section that will allow us to bucket into the appropriate section of the law, the project in front of the planning board or the building department or whatever. I mean, to keep us on focus of the definition. Is that what we're trying to do right now?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but I'm just trying to make sure the law is written in such a way that it's understandable by the rank and file resident out there, that even in the definitions that, okay, I understand I'd like to get a tier 2 system at my house because this is the size of the area that I can have in my, that can occupy in my yard, and not just some, I think it's going to be somewhat intimidating just to have a kilowatt reference to the definition of tier 2, is my point.
Right, that's why they have four. So they can either use the kilowatt or not use the kilowatt and just say, for the total surface area of all solar panels of up to X number of feet.
Now, see, to John's point earlier is that people aren't going to install these things themselves. The experts will know exactly. If I want to put one in, I go call Apex Solar and have them come over. I show them the laws. They say, okay, within that, we can do this. You know, I don't think anybody's going to go out there and measure their property up and try to figure out what kind of system they're going to put out there. It's professionals going to do that. And professionals have to work within the law.
Yeah, but I understand it, but it's just like a pool provider. The pool provider is a professional that puts in the pool, but they specifically tell the customer, I don't do the building permit application, you do. So what I'm trying to say is translating, having the resident translate that solar equipment into a building permit application that they have to fill out and they have to provide a site plan for. I just want to make sure that it's in a manner that, you know, they have the capacity to do that. We don't get this to be too complicated.
Well, the thing is, too, I would hope that person would consult with their solar people as they were going through the process, and I believe that's for them to figure out between them and the solar people. I mean, that's my look at it.
Because from my role as zoning administrator, at the end of the day, I'm interested in, you know, the size of the tier 2 can attain. You know, and I think if you're going to say to a resident that it can be up to 4,000 square feet, that's an awful lot of their property in some instances here in this town. There's a lot of lots out there that are 20,000 square feet or less, and that's a lot of property that this is going to occupy.
So, Jim, I'm actually agreeing with you that I like the more option where we're naming the feet. The point I was just trying to make, and this is really a question at the same time, is that right now we're just defining the tiers in which the buckets go. But let me ask the question this way. If in the section where we define the laws around the rest of the law around tier 2 systems, where we're talking about setback and visibility, and the other requirements, height limitations, are we not by design of that other details going to eliminate the possibility for some to maybe put a 4,000 square foot solar panel system on a property that's too small for it, because they just won't be able to comply with those other guidelines?
Yes, you will define the area by virtue of a setback clause and all that. Yeah, you'll define it pretty well. I would hope. I just caution against, you know, this being too dominant of a feature, you know, on the landscape. You know,
so I'm with you. So that point, I'll make it without going down the rabbit hole too far. I think that point that was just made and agreed upon is kind of overlying on all the other topics we're going to talk about. You know, the other parts of the law, the
My service says 4,000, but Jim says that's a lot, so tell me what number to put in. And do you want the 110% capacity that you currently have in the draft law anyway?
So I guess that was where I was about to go, and I defer to Mr. Martin. I'm a little more conservative when it comes to numbers, and I too thought 4,000 just for a starting number was a lot. I am one that will always say, if it, you know, be more conservative, and then the applicant ask them to go and ask for relief from the zoning board. And then the zoning board, who has been trained, or we would hope they've gone to conferences, they've gone to seminars, they've read more of what's come through, they have the ability to compromise, if you will, with an applicant at that point in time. So if, say we put in 2,000 and they want 3,000, well, the zoning board might have more knowledge than the three or four of us sitting here to say, you know, 4,000 is too much, but this is why 3,000 would be better. You know, because again, the zoning board of appeals is granted with the responsibility of granting relief, the minimum amount of relief necessary on a property. So they have not always a no, and then always a yes. There's sometimes a compromise. And I think that's an important arm of what we have here in our municipal government to use. So I am more concerned with numbers, and I would say 4,000 might be too much. At start, let's have the applicant ask for more. That's what we have this all set up for, is to ask for more if need be.
I don't know if you want to create a law that basically says this is the law, but you're probably in need of variance. I think that's where you want to go.
The thing is, my thought on it is that you could put up to 4,000, and if they want the 4,000, if they don't fall within the guidelines, the setbacks, the screening, we can cut them back down. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we said a lot either. It says, well, here's the minimum, but if you want a little bit more, we'll take a look at it. No, I like the idea of set a maximum. Set a maximum, if the person wants the maximum, but they can't meet the criteria that's set in the law as far as setbacks and screening and et cetera, then they can't get up to the 4,000. I'd rather work that way than that way.
So, if I can interject, and I apologize for being late. I've just come out of a 2-hour executive session with the Thurston County Prosperity and Partnership. So I did provide board members with an agenda for this evening, and my intent with that agenda is to not get down into the weeds on, you know, whether it should be 4,000, 2,000 square feet, is to come to a consensus. For instance, you know, does the board want to use a tier system and use 3 tiers? That's the point for this being on the agenda. And if so, we will come back at a later date and hone those definitions out. I want to keep the process moving. You know, we don't have a lot of time. We only have 20 minutes here this evening.
So at this point, we've said yes.
So everybody's okay with it. All right, so we're going to have a 3-tier system. And we will come back and have greater discussion on that at a future workshop. But in the interest of time, I do want to get through as much of the agenda as we can. The next issue I have is zoning district. And I think all the board members have a copy of the zoning in the town at this stage in the game. And I'd like to get a consensus from the board where you're okay with it, where you're not okay with it, where you need to think about it more, so that we can further down the road look at what kind of parameters we want to have in place based on zoning for the size of structure and things like that. So at this point, is there any board member that has an issue with any of our zoning categories where they would not like to see solar?
Any particular type of solar? I think.
Well, we can go down that road, but I think at this point, if you're in support of any kind of solar, include it in the discussion. And we'll come back to that for, again, what type of solar, what size of solar.
Okay. I'm saying I'm pro solar.
So you're okay with any area in the town commercial corridor? You're okay
I'm thinking in the commercial quarter, you could have solar on somebody's roof.
Okay.
Which we already do, so.
Alright, is there, alright, well, let's go around. Is there any, we'll start with a council member. Well, how about all training as any, all peers and all districts? Or do you want to? Okay, well, I just want to know if there's any classification that a board member has concerns about. Now, we're talking generically about solar, whether it's rooftop or commercial.
Sure. So I do, when looking at the map, if you guys look at it there, C2 is currently, I'm pro solar as well, but for ground mounted, if you look at C2, it basically borders, it's Route 9 from the Peter Dam, William Street down to a few properties just north of the Nolan Road. That C2 is in the backyard. They're all mostly single lots there. That C2 is in the backyard of R1. So I would have a hesitant to want to approve, the C1. This map is so hard to read here. I guess I'm talking.
C3 is the one that's.
C3, is that what I'm trying to get? That's what I'm trying to describe. So C3. The C2 actually on the end of there, up at the end of that Route 9, just south of the Peter Dan. There we go.
I'll be your.
I'm sorry. Thanks. So, okay. So right here, these are single lots in the back there. I'll step over to the front here. These are single lots in the backyard of R1. Currently, we're asking, for these to be in the rear yards, and the whole point of, this is to keep the industrial type look, I would think, out of residential neighborhoods. So I find it difficult to think of ground mounted stuff right here in this C2 and some of the C3 right here. I don't find that to be amicable, or I don't find that would be good for the neighborhood. Certainly change the character of the neighborhood. That's one of my concerns.
So, just to be clear, is that all any kind of solar?
No, that's why it's hard to do this. Like this, more like ground-mounted arrays that are 15 feet high and 2,000 square feet, 4,000 square feet.
So,
like a tier 2.
So, the setback, can't you basically eliminate that? Right?
Well, we would hope, right? And just to get back to it, anybody can come in and ask for anything they want. So, maybe the zoning board says, hey, well, I'll let you do it within that setback, and we're going to, because that can happen, right? So,
you basically saying now you don't like what the zoning board might do. Basically.
Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't like it. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I'm not, they could allow it, and that's why if the law doesn't allow it, certainly everything, you don't necessarily worry about that at that point in time.
Can you see certain neighborhoods?
Yeah.
What's that?
You can't. Is that the entire district or not the entire district? You can't split the district and say here but not here.
I agree with that I know that because I brought up something about R4. If somebody put ground-mounted unit, a tier 2 ground-mounted unit in C2 or C1, it is in the backyard of a residential neighborhood because it borders, they're one property depth lots that make up these C2 and C1 lots. If you put it out in the back, it's going to be a residential backyard. It just is. So when I say neighborhoods, I mean neighborhoods because it's in C2, but it's right up against R1. And so But I think that's gone through, and we've all talked. I guess that went through. I guess we haven't talked about anything. I mentioned it, and I'm not sure if anyone else really knew what I was talking about when I had said that. But if you look at this map, that's what I'm talking about. And the other part, I guess, I'm going to bring it up, even though I know it's not allowable, I had brought up that if you look at R4 on your map and R3, again, there's some high-density neighborhoods in R4 and R3 that I would assume are similar to what's,
feel or the character of the neighborhood are one, it'd be allowable in these particular R4 neighborhoods, but they're such a small part of R4, so that's, I understand why those neighborhoods are in R4. More or less looking out for the folks that live in residential neighborhoods on this domain, but that's not a disallowing roof mount.
I would follow up and add that I think one of the areas that we need to be cognizant of is the C1 area, which essentially is from the interstate, both sides of the road up to
Nolan Road.
Nolan Road. I mean, we've taken action to have our commercial road there. We've got sewer in place now. Those landowners, you know, that are in the sewer district, their bills will be impacted as to whether or not an entity comes in and buys their property, rents their property, that these sewers out. So that's the future of our town for commercial development. If we go put in commercial arrays in there, especially because from a real property tax standpoint, the town's not going to see a lot of revenue from that, I think we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. So one of the things that I would ask the board to consider is to not allow commercial size arrays in the C1 area. I don't know how the rest of the board feels about that.
I mean, it makes sense to me as well. I feel the same way. I also know that C1, some of those lots are humongous, but it doesn't mean they can't be used to develop commercial property. So I would like to see that available for something that can generate tax revenue for our town. So I would be willing to agree that C1 should be protected from that.
And I would also add that, you know, if they wanted to do roof mounts or something like that for on-site consumption, I'm okay with that for any kind of business.
So the tier one?
Yeah. Whatever tier one is tonight.
So you know that you've already got that in there. In the draft law, you've already banned from C1, the large scale.
Excellent. So we all agree on that.
Very nice.
Are you okay with that, Jen?
Yep. You know, Kyle's point about the neighborhood and stuff like that, I believe if we have our setbacks, we have our screening and everything in order, it'll eliminate the majority of those small properties in the neighborhoods. Because, you know, with the setbacks and the screening that has to be done, it wouldn't be a lot there anyway.
I don't want to put too much faith in the screening. It's going to be up to 8 feet tall, and these arrays are 15 feet tall. So I don't have too much faith in an 8-foot screen that's going to kind of cover something that's 15 feet tall. I understand why it's in there, but they're never going to be fully screened. I have a tough time thinking that if you live in any of the neighborhoods that border C2 or C1, I guess the reason I keep saying C1 because that's up at the other end of Route 9 and where the Ace Hardware and things like that is at C1. But that road from there down to just north of Nolan Road, that's C3. The backyards, those are shallow lots. The backyards of those shallow lots are going to be, you can screen it, but you're still going to see it.
Well, the thing is, that's why I suggested in there, or anywhere in a residential neighborhood, the lot should be at least 1.5 acres. And that would give more room to put it, put it where it had to be, so it was screened from the neighbors, but it wouldn't be so objectionable to the effectual.
And I guess you made a
lot. I don't know, it's just a suggestion. I think what
you get. You might accept that too. You can.
I'm sorry, but the draft you have in front of you already deals with all of this. If you look at it, in 2998, the only place you can have large-scale systems is in R5, M1 and M2.
We were talking about the small, I think the small ground market.
So large scale system that we're looking now.
That's tier three, right.
Right.
What's the threshold in that for large towns?
You're more concerned about the tier twos, right? The small, the small.
Yeah, I would ultimately be more concerned with tier twos, but because those would be like an on-site consumption of 110%. Right, and the tier twos. I mean, I don't know if we want to go down that road right now, but so those many will be for personal use or on site use.
So, all right. So, any other zoning areas that you want to discuss? This is for just a home end where you don't want it at all, or you want it limited.
I mean, I would love to hear from some of the neighbors in the newer neighborhoods that are in, say, R4, or some of those that border R2 down to R3 there, which would be like Santa Barbara Heights and all. Because I would be interested to hear from those neighbors at some point in time, so I don't have much of a comment. I have no comment on that.
Well, the other thing too is we can look at further down the road is to alleviate some of those concerns in your R4s and R3 areas. If you have a certain acreage, you know, that should be something that's taken into consideration. I mean, obviously, I know an example right now that there's a potential company that's waiting for us to wrap up our law that wants to put in a significant array in our R3 zone. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of acreage, several hundred acres, but if we do an outright ban or a limitation on large scale, they won't be able to do it at all. There's no, there's like one house, one or two houses that border on that property. So that may be something that we want to consider if we're going to limit construction of these arrays in smaller residential zones. So I'm not out of the tonight, but if anybody has any ideas, we can throw it up for discussion at a later date. But if you have a number in mind for acreage?
I don't. I'm just thinking that I'd be okay with it most anywhere, but to address the setbacks for so that they're not encroaching.
But we'll obviously, whatever we
approve, so that's what we'll, have time.
We'll have to abide by the setbacks that we have in place for all of our arrays. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And that would kind of address that situation, I think. Okay.
So, any other areas of town? Actually, I'll throw out there, I think that they should be banned from resource protection areas, which are the yellow areas on this map, over here, and here around the rec facilities. You know, I don't know if the board members have thoughts on that.
Oh, I would agree with that as well. Yeah, that the resource protection areas are designed to be more for that recreation.
Right.
And you don't want to be taking up that areas with solar or other entities.
Did we lose council member in the session?
No, I'm still here. You're Mr. Tesla?
No, I got real quiet when I walked in. I don't know what they're talking about.
I'm still here.
I'll
try to other than this last discussion about, you know, some consideration with a particular project in R3, I was comfortable with the way we had defined the zones in the language. It was in 97 and 98. So I don't have anything else additional to add. But I like others, not everybody believed with the right other guidelines around the law from setbacks and visibility and those things. We can address the concerns, and that itself will self-monitor the size of some of these.
Thank you.
Thank you. Everybody's okay.
okay. What about our manufacturing zones, M1 and M2? We've got light industrial on the south side of the exit 17, and that would also be the industrial park. And you're okay with it?
Oh, I'm fine with the manufacturing.
So let me ask, if we already approved something or in the M1 up in the industrial park area, that there's going to be a solar.
So we have a company that's looking to establish, I guess you'd call it large scale, depending on definition, solar arrays in there. Not a big deal. There's still, it requires action on the town board, part of the town board, requires transfer of lots, things like that. We're moving through that process, but that's not something that's a done deal.
No, I get it, but I mean, we kind of already had that discussion, and we were okay with this particular size lot because of the location of it.
Right. Well, I think there was an interpretation early on that these arrays could go in the industrial.
Yeah, right now the industrial zones, power plants are a listed use, and Joe Patrick Pryor made the determination that they were power plants, and I agree with that. So there's something only a site plan review from the planning board, and then they can be established. So
the only downfall to that was is that in our industrial area, we wanted to have people working,
right,
versus not working. You know,
right.
They come in, and you know, yes, you have that initial employment installation, but then there's very little maintenance that has to happen on these.
My suspicion was the power plants were allowed as really an accessory use for an industry that needs power generated, you know, on site, like a lot of paper mills do and things like that.
Right.
So they allow paper, they allow power plants as a use for that, you know, expectation at the time.
Okay.
And what's the board's feeling on the urban residential area close to the village? Keep commercial obviously out of there, but allow roof mounted?
Oh, yeah.
I would say roof mounted. I mean,
is that what we have right now?
Yeah, well, anyhow, the district by which small scale ground mounted are allowed is on, it's in 149.97, second page, and it was contemplating limiting the ground mounted. You are not listed there for ground mounted.
Okay. I want to be fair to the next board coming in here. It's 7 o'clock this evening, and obviously we'll require additional workshops to get at the point where we release this for public comment. Thank you, everybody, for the time for this evening, and what we'll do is we'll schedule at the next board meeting next week, our next workshop on this, and we'll get the process.
I missed the summary, you just talked about one book, I
think. Good luck with that.
I got that.
All right. Okay, so in this aspect, I'm going to make a motion to close this meeting.
Second.
All right.
All right.
All
favor? Any opposed?